Please join me in a word of prayer. May I preach today through a mighty strength, through the invocation of the Trinity, through belief in the oneness, through confession of the threeness of the Creator of creation. May Christ be in the eyes of all who see me. May Christ be in the ears of all who hear me. May Christ be in the hearts of all who think of me. May Christ be in the mouths of all who speak of me. Amen. The journey of the Magi was a search for Jesus, which ended with joy, joyful, with great joy. The story of the Magi is memorable. It has these mysterious characters. We don't know who they were or exactly where they came from, only that they came from the east. And we're not sure what happened to them afterwards or where they went. The story has these fantastic events, people being led by a star, whatever that means, people being warned in a dream by God. And so the story is memorable for these reasons, and yet for these very reasons, it's easy to dismiss the story as made up, as mythologizing. These characters don't appear again. It's very rarely, it's not mentioned anywhere else in the New Testament. And so it's easy to set it aside. But we should not underestimate the importance of the Magi. In the earliest visual worship elements, that is to say, in the art that we have, from the earliest art we can find in churches and in catacombs, the icons that we can find, the Magi are one of the most common icons that we find. The three royal figures approaching with their gifts in worship to Jesus. Matthew opens with the Gentile Magi, the nations, coming to worship Jesus. And then, as we heard last week, Matthew goes immediately into Jesus being sent into Egypt to live there among the Egyptians for a time. Matthew also closes with this commandment to the disciples: go, therefore, to all the nations. As Eric emphasized last week, these stories that Matthew has included create a picture that we don't often highlight. As Eric said, we tend to focus on Jesus within Israel. But Jesus, through Matthew, we know, was revealed in his birth to other nations along with Israel, just as the prophets had said Jesus would be. Paul puts it this way: salvation comes from the Jews, but by God's grace, all nations are welcomed equally into God's salvation. Salvation for the nations is not merely a standing invitation from God. It wasn't a word going out from the prophets that should any nation hear it. Instead, what we see in Matthew is that God sent Jesus to Egypt, that God himself called the Magi to come to Jesus and led them. God was actively seeking out the nations to include them in salvation. This is what we are celebrating today, Epiphany Sunday, the revelation of Jesus, not just to his own people, to the Jews, but to all the nations, that together with the Jews, we might be made into a new family, a new people, the people of God. How long did the Magi search for Jesus? We don't know. How long would you search for something before giving up, before you despaired, before you grew frustrated? Now, we have been enduring COVID and the COVID restrictions for 9 months now. We all know that this is hard. We all know that this is taking a toll on us, on our city, on our world. We know it is taking a toll on mental health. We know it is taking a toll on marriages, on businesses, on our frontline workers. And I don't want to dismiss all of that, but I can't help but think of what I'm experiencing right now. And my mind goes back to World War I and World War II, when year after year people had to endure and had to persevere in taking care of each other, in making the best of life, even though day after day they would hear reports of deaths, of new destruction, when day after day there was no end to the hunger that they were experiencing, from the rationing of food and all supplies. Year after year, they watched as more and more young people were sent off, perhaps never to be seen again. It did end. Now, good can come out of the hardship we are experiencing at the moment. We have already seen signs of some of that. I don't know if you cast your mind back to April or March when Ron Phillips shared an online video about some of the good that he was seeing. Go search up that video again if you want to have some hope rekindled within you. Good can come out of the hardship we are enduring as we search for the end of it. So let us be faithful to one another and to God. We can do this. How long did the Magi search? Was it more than 9 months? Few Christians go through life without experiencing at least one time, if not many times, when it seems like God is absent from their life. When it seems that they're going through the motions of church and prayer and the Bible, and there is nothing. Perhaps there is some concern or some burden in their life that they've been praying for years and God is not answering. Things are not changing. How long did the Magi search for Jesus? We can guess that it was upwards of 2 years that they had to search. Matthew writes in chapter 2, verse 16, that it was according that 2 years was concluded according to the time that Herod had learned from the Magi since the star first appeared. We don't know what hardships they endured in their travels. They had come from outside of the Roman Empire, outside of those roads, outside of the policing and the stability that was created by the empire. We don't know what obstacles they had to overcome in order to find Jesus. We don't know if they ever wanted to give up, if they ever thought they were mistaken, if they ever thought that they had been confused, that God wasn't there, that maybe they would never reach the end of their journey. Some parts of their journey was clear. Some moments of decision, some of the guidance was clear, but other points were not. They had clear guidance from God sometimes. There was a star. Again, whatever it means to be led by a star, or to see a star rising that signals the birth of a king. They had clear guidance from God there. They had clear guidance in a dream from God as to what to do. And they had the clear words of the prophet to help them. And yet we know there was also uncertainty and ambiguity, and perhaps even they would say the silence of God at times. Their very first appearance in the story, their very first words are a question: where is he? They had come all this way, and yet they still did not know where they were going or where to look next. And they are sent off with these words out of Jerusalem: go and search for him. Not clear directions, as if they'd stopped at a gas station. Take two rights, next left, through the intersection, you'll see it. You can't miss it. Not clear directions. Rather, words that could be applied in our lives, in anyone's life. Go and search for him. I even wonder about their discovery itself. When they came before Jesus with his parents, just how unmistakable could it have been? What did they find in the end? Just a child with his parents. How clear could that have been that this was the king that they were looking for? Yes, I know there was a star, an unusual event that would help them, that would support them in this discovery. But did they ever question that experience later in their life? Did they ever wonder if they had been wrong? If they had somehow fooled themselves? Was it likely that anyone else ever believed them? All of the events in their story, when you put them together, it makes for compelling evidence that this child was the Messiah, the one that they were looking for. But none of it was repeatable. There wasn't anything they could show anyone else to prove what they had found. They couldn't show anyone else the star. They couldn't show anyone else the child. All they had was their own testimony, just like us. I know for myself, what I've experienced in life has led me to Jesus and to joyfulness with very great joy. But I can't prove it. I can't even guarantee to other people that I talk to my own congregation, I can't even guarantee that if you just do these steps, you will meet Jesus in the way that I have, as much as that is my prayer. It seems like God makes all of us make this journey on our own. Hardship. And sometimes it seems to take longer for some people. Sometimes it's short and quick. Some people are gifted with clear signs, and others have very few signs. But always in the end, when we meet Jesus, it is marked by joy. As I prepared for this sermon, I was reflecting on meetings and encounters that we have, trying to think of one that would exemplify a search for Jesus and the joy that the Magi experienced in the end. A journey through pain and grief and hardship that leads to the joy of meeting Jesus. And I couldn't help but think of the many meetings I've been privileged to be a part of at the Regina Airport. We are so privileged to have people from many nations in this congregation. We have Adija and Emmanuel, Jibril and Julien, Dieu Beni and Gloria, Alex and Daisenga, Rob Stafford. These are all people who know what it means to have to wait, to have to endure through hardship, to have to search. They know what it means to experience loss, and yet to have to persevere and work as they look to be reunited with the people they love. I asked Adija if I could share some of her story this morning. Adija is a Congolese woman, for those of you who haven't had the pleasure of meeting her yet, a Congolese woman who, in the midst of the Congolese wars, was separated from her family. And for all she knew, they were lost forever. Her husband and her two children. She came to Canada with some of her other family, other women. And then news came. Her husband was alive. After years of thinking he was gone, he was alive and her children were alive. And then began the years of hard work to allow the family to immigrate to Canada and to be reunited. It took years of hard work, of raising the funds necessary, of completing all the paperwork, of completing all the medical requirements. It took years, and finally the day came. Many of us were there at the airport. It was a huge crowd of Congolese people had come together as well. And if you can imagine the airport with me, those of you who've been there, as the crowd gathered at the bottom, as the husband and the children came into view at the top of the stairs, the singing and the celebration were incredible. The ululating of the women, there was not many dry eyes. But what were those tears that the people were shedding? I'm sure there was sorrow and grief that was coming out of their hearts. I am sure that it was also joy mixed in there as well. Joyful with very great joy. That after all the years of hardship, the grief and the joy were caught up together and mixed together, all in one in this moment. I can't think of any better example of what our search for Jesus is like. As the hymn writes, sing puts it, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee. So we are on a journey ourselves. And I don't know what that means for each of you. I do know many of your stories. I do know many of you are carrying grief, are enduring hardship. I know all of us through COVID are enduring. I know that some of you are searching for Jesus and it seems like he is not there, that the signs are not clear. But Jesus is there. And God is leading each of us and meeting Jesus, at least in this life, in part, is a hint of the joy that we will experience one day when we meet Jesus face to face. And then all the sorrow and grief and hardship will be caught up together with the joyfulness of very great joy that we will have when we see Jesus for ourselves. Amen.